Ayres HaTayr on page Samach Gimel. Page Samach Gimel, Seif Tezayin. Those who learned Ayres HaTshuva are familiar with Rav Kook's way of understanding the chutzpah at the end of time. Chazal, many, many, many years ago, told us would surface in a very, very strong, in a very strong way, the chutzpah of Ikfas of the Mashiach, which we're living in. This is the perek in Ayres HaTayr and Pnimius HaTayr. And of course we've learned over and over how even in this chutzpah of the end of time, Rav Kook sees such good signs, such strong and positive signs that things are winding down. And not only that we have good things to look forward to, but they're positive signs of life right now. I'm going to talk about that also in the context of what we're going to do Mitzvah Shavuos night, which is really a Hagadamah to Perek Yud Gimel in Ayres HaTayr. Maybe we'll even do it again so we could then could be more the whole Chevra together. But the Chutzpah Vikshet the Mashiach. So here Rav Kook says, in the context of what we're learning, the urgency of connecting to Pnimius HaTayr. So, one of the advantages of the chutzpah of the end of time is that even though it causes a tremendous amount of difficulty, but the maila, there's a maila in it as well, that on some level it enables us to learn more than ever before, to learn Pnimius HaTayr. First of all, there's the chutzpah of people like ourselves who are unworthy of learning Pnimius HaTayr, who have not gone through all of the preparations that our ancestors used to in order to be worthy of learning Pnimius HaTayr. And you can take such an unruly, undignified chevra of the end of time as this generation, and we can learn Pnimius HaTayr. Not only can we, but we must. The fact that we even dare to do that is itself an unbelievable chutzpah. It's a siman of the chutzpah that we're in. The chutzpah of Ikfas of Mashiach. As the tzaddikim say, that the greatest chutzpah of all, at the end of time, when tzaddik spoke about it, is that even though there are many, many, many reasons why people like ourselves would be too embarrassed and too ashamed to go into a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we still show up. It's an amazing thing in itself. We still show up. And like the guards at the gate of the palace say, what are you kidding? What are you doing here? And we say, you know, we're Jews, we're here. Yeah, but look at yourself, what kind of a Jew are you? And then we say some nasty things and we go in. It's itself the most unbelievable sin of the end of time. That this chutzpah to not only to want to remain Jews, but to have a shaychus and a keshet to pnimius of Yiddishkeit. That is a very, very good sign of things that are coming up. But there's something else. B'lei chutzpah, b'lei chutzpah d'ikas de Mashiach, lohay efshel avar rozei tar begilui gomor. Rav Kook is saying this. Rozei tar, the secrets of tar, are exploding with light. Exploding with elokus. In earlier generations, people were very, very sensitive to elokus. They were very, very sensitive to godliness. And because of that, when the light of Rosei Torah, of the secrets of Torah, when the light of Elokus was shining, in the earlier generations, it was very, very easy for those generations to simply fall apart. They were so sensitive to Elokus, and they were so refined because of their Shmiras HaMitzvahs and Kedushas Habris, etc., etc., that when they would be exposed to secrets of Torah, they were easily overwhelmed, and being overwhelmed could be manifested in different ways. To be overwhelmed could be to misunderstand, it could be to become emotionally sick. But with our generation, there doesn't have to be that kind of fear of exposure to Elokus. Why? Why not? So Terry says, we're so thick-skinned. We're so thick. We're so filled with things that are not aligned with Elokus, that we're not as sensitive. And because we're not as sensitive, the exposure doesn't automatically cause us to become confused and bewildered. Because of that thickness, we're able in certain ways to understand, because the understanding doesn't cause a Shriya Sakelim. That was the fact that we're talking about, that we could be talking about Ein Sof Baruch Hu. So you know that by the Rebbe Reb Zusha, that when the Mizrach Magid, said, Vaydaba Hashem al Moshe Lema, the Rebbe Reb Zusha started to jump on the table, Vaydaba Hashem al Moshe Lema, Vaydaba Hashem al Moshe Lema. He couldn't contain himself. Hashem spoke to a human being. Vaydaba Hashem al Moshe Lema. Well, the time that the Rebbe Reb Zusha was so late, after davening until he came to the Smedrus, and they found out the reason why is he said that when he said Maida Ani, he was thinking Maida Ani. You know, I started to think, who's Zushia Ani? Lefanecha, and who's Lefanecha? And I covered my head with a blanket and I was shaking. I couldn't get out of bed. Which now also people cover their heads with blankets and don't get out of bed. But not because of that. But for people like us, Maida Ani Lefanecha, everybody's okay this morning. We got here okay. It's okay. Everybody's all right with Hashem. Why don't you finach ani? Finach? No. It's like such a big nafka minute. Why don't you finach? It's okay. By Dabba Shalom Yishalayim, he has now a person can say, while he's looking on his BlackBerry, leaning back, scratching his head, with his tefillin on and the towels over the head, looking at the BlackBerry. By Dabba Shalom Yishalayim. Everybody seems to be surviving. So one of the, I don't know if it's a fringe benefit, but there is a fringe benefit of being so thick-skinned and having such chutzpah. That's what Rav Kook is saying. B'loy ha-chutzpah d'ikus ha-mashiach l'hoi ev shalavar razi tar b'gili goma. If not for the unbelievable chutzpah of Ikfas and Mashiach, if not for the situation that we're in, it wouldn't be possible to explain in such an open way secrets of Torah, which they had to be much more covered in the past. For the Rebbe Zush, you know, for these kind of people, you have to have coverings over the light, because when there's an exposure of light, they're blown away. They're so sensitive to it. That was then. But now, over the last 150 years, our world of Am Yisrael has unfortunately been infected by kfira, by atheism, by turning away. Where 100 years ago, came out every Jew was Shomer Mitzvahs, 150 years ago, every Jew was Shomer Mitzvahs. You had to really, really, really be a mumel ahachis, you know. You had to really fight against being a from person in those days. And now, over the years, over these last 100, 150 years of kfir, so much kfir in the world, and all the darkness that that kfir has brought, so mimela, there are many, many filters that cause the light of Elokus and of Rosei Torah, the secrets of Torah, to come to us in a very, very filtered way. Therefore, these secrets can be taught more openly because of the filter of darkness that causes these secrets to be intellectually understood, but emotionally and religiously not to necessarily blow us away. You follow? A person nowadays can go to Central Avenue for a coffee and a Danish, and then meet up with a couple of friends to have a little bit of a shir and chassidus, to talk about Ein Sof and Zeranpin and Chochma and Bina, then he can still catch lunch in the delicatessen. It wasn't always like that. Once upon a time, there were Jews that when they heard about Ein Sof, Baruch Hu, about the Infinite One, they couldn't bring themselves back into this world. They couldn't eat, they couldn't drink, they couldn't sleep. So with the Yerida, with the terrible descent of this spiritual stature of Am Yisrael at the end of time, there's been such a darkness already from the Haskalah at that time, through this time, with all the Taivas v'chulu v'chulu, that there's been such a darkness, that because of that, filter of darkness, we're able to receive Elokus. We're able to learn Svarim HaKadoshim. We're able to learn the deepest teachings of Torah. And we're okay. We don't go out of our kelim. Like they used to say stories, a person would learn some Zohar and he would go crazy. Guarantee you, none of us would go crazy from learning a piece of Zohar. We either wouldn't understand, or if we would understand, we'd still go to the delicatessen for lunch. And we'd get to sleep on time. And there'd even be a little bit of time to catch up on your emails. It's an amazing thing. So the fact that we have nowadays the ability to learn Rosei Torah, and we don't have to be as fearful as in the past, is due to this chutzpah d'ikvus of the Mashiach. So that's a fringe benefit. But on the other hand, it has to humble us as well. And we have to aspire to something better. To be able to connect to Rosei Torah without the filter. Okay, Mitzvah Shem, the time will come for that. But in the meantime, we're able to enjoy these limudim. We're able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through learning Rosei Torah, which in earlier generations were covered with layers and layers and layers, and only a few people who had the kelim. Otherwise, because of the great spiritual sensitivity, they had to be kept from such things, because it would have caused a shattering of the person. Because they were already primed, and that kind of light of Rosei Torah would have caused such a shattering. So when Shabbos had Tzvi, Yimach Shemai came to the world, and he made a whole revolution, a significant part of the Jews, of Europe and also the East, which is where he came from, where a significant part of the world, of the Jewish world, was swept up in the Inyan of Mashiach, and were fasting and davening and gave up their businesses and gave up everything and were putting their lives back into Kedusha in order to march to Yerushalayim with Mashiach. If Shabbos Tzvi Mashmo would come to our world, it wouldn't have that same impact. It's going to be interesting to see when Mashiach Tzakenu comes to the world. But then, it's going to be okay. But if Shabbos Tzvi would come to the world now, it'd be a whole different sugya. It'd be a whole different parish. I'm a shechist. Whatever. And there'd be all kinds of leitzanas on the internet. They check out this picture of Mashiach in his outfit. You know, like there'd be all kinds of stuff and jokes. Nobody would be selling their businesses and moving to Yerushalayim or anything like that. No, that darkness itself enables us to be Isaac in things that in the past we would not be able to do. B'lay achutz b'dikus the Mashiach, l'hay evshel levar razei tar begili gomer, rak aydei his abus ahargoshes, that because of the coarsening and thickening of our emotions, rak aydei his abus ahargoshes, because of the thickening and coarsening of our emotions, that we're not so sensitive and so delicate spiritually. Shaydei achutzbah, because of the chutzpah of the end of time, we're able to receive great exalted concepts. The kabbal ha'oros lights and illumination of the seichel, al yonis ma'od. There are people who study Kabbalah and are great experts in Kabbalah. They're not even shomer mitzvahs. When was there ever such a thing in the history of Klal Yisrael? You have professors of Kabbalah. I'm not talking about some frum ones that there are. I'm talking about they're not even the Mechal Shabbos, they're in the Veils and Treifas, and they're professors of Kabbalah, and they write books on Jewish mysticism, and give lectures on Jewish mysticism. He sits there without a yarmulke, on Shabbos, writing his doctoral thesis on Jewish mysticism. Well, how can there be such a thing? It's coming after a long, dark period of kfir, that a person's able to sit and write a shtickle Torah on Kisvei Ari without a yarmulke on Shabbos, or on Yom Kippur while he's eating Evi Menachai or something. It's hard to believe that it's even possible, such a thing. But Arkadei Kach, is there a chutzpah? And is there his abus, a thickening, a coarsening of our sensitivities? When we read stories of early generations, and we read stories of tzaddikim and how they were, and even stories of Amcha Beis Yisrael, it's hard in many ways. It's sweet and it's charming, but it's hard for us to relate to many of the things that these stories. The way that even simple Jews were set on fire with a vart, with a maisa, with something. Forget about the tzaddikim. The soif. So, in a certain way, this is a little bit depressing, the matzav. But the soif, shakol yoshuv letikun gomer. But in the end, self, in the end, everything's going to be okay. All of these things are going to be worked out, and there'll be a tikkun, And it's all part of the Hashgacha Pratis that the Baruch Shalom is doing things in such a remarkable way. I've often thought about that. Like, what if there'd be like a Maimon HaSinai now? So it says that by Anoichi, Layilacha, right? Parchan Ishmosim So Yisrael, the Neshamas left them. By Shulis, right? The Neshamas left them. They died. And then Hashem had to give the Tal Shachia to bring them back to life. Like, would we be checking our emails by Maimon HaSinai also? I mean, you can't because it's Shabbos, but, Yontif. But theoretically, would we be? I was someplace the other day where there was a father diving next to his son, and the son was like a teenager, looked like maybe 16, 17, and the kid was looking during the whole time of diving. He was looking at different things on his iPod or iPhone, whatever he was looking at it. So the father went to him. I was staying right behind. The father went to him. He said, the father said, no. The kid looked at his father. You wouldn't look at an animal. And the kid looked at him like this, and then he went with his shoulder to him, because his father touched him. No, you know, he on his shoulder. He says, no. And the kid went like that. Oh, you some weirdo. You should be happy I came to daven. And the father just kept on davening. You know, went back and did his sitting. Well, if that would be me, I would go outside and shoot myself. It's a desensitization. It's hard to believe. Have you been in places where Jews are during davening holding and looking at their emails during Chazar Shashat? Or even this wasn't Chazar Shashat, it was the middle of that. I hardly dive in any place when am I away? I'm here 90%, you know. So, but I see that this is going on. That people stand during davening with looking at the thing. Not just for the davening, which itself one should not do, to use that for davening. One should not use that for davening. Would you use a book that had in it 30 pages of schmutz and 50 pages of pictures, and then at the end it had a siddur in it? Think about it. The same kli that potentially, not only if you press the buttons, but has in it the big worldwide web of pollution and tumah, and the person davens from that, he holds in his hands the daven. Besides, there are those in the past and you're not allowed to daven because it's an expensive thing, and when you're davening, you're supposed to hold something in your hand that you'd be nervous it might fall. Or maybe they make them so thick now that you could go down. I have no idea. But how could a person daven? To daven from that. I see this is already, it's already like nothing. People daven from it, okay. At least it's davening, so it's a limit schus. But now I see people that they'll in the middle of davening, they're all the time checking their things, looking up on. So I thought it was once only by chasnas, that you don't have the decency when there's a chasna kalab there, you don't have the decency to put that away. Then it got to levayas. I already saw this year that people sit by levayas, looking by levayas. The Aaron is sitting 15 feet away, and he's sitting there with this thing. The levayas. Then, now, in the middle of davening. In the middle of davening, to be looking at things on the thing. Puts it back in. Davens a little bit. Davens a little bit, takes it back out. Puts it back in, takes it back out. What would be at Maimon HaSinai? So it says, Parchan Ishmosam. Then the Shomas left them. That means that there were people who were holding by such a thing where the neshamas could leave them. But if the neshama is so buried, is buried in such a deep, deep place, just because God says Anoichi Hashem Elokecha doesn't necessarily mean Parcha Nishmas, you understand? I know we all think that, wow, that's pretty good. God himself says Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. I'm not so sure that if God himself would say Anoichi Hashem Elokecha now, everybody would put away their iPhones. Not necessarily. You might say, hold on, I'll be with you in a second. Hold on. Some urgent emails coming in right now, as we speak. Hold on a second, please. Hashem says, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. He'd have to repeat himself a few times. Okay, I'll be with you in a second. This is my seventh item. I'll give you in a second. Plus his nigh is. The Sof Rav Kook says in the end, Hakol Yosher Latikum Gomer, it'll be a big nice. So on the one hand, we are in many ways more spiritually attuned. For many, many reasons that we've been talking about all the time. There is a Tshuva lot in here also. On the other hand, it comes together with a very thick shell that allows us to learn certain things that couldn't be learned in the past because it's filtered through all of the years of kfir and all of our craziness. It comes in a filtered way. So are we more spiritual than like the Alter Yid that sits there and you know does his thing? Are we more spiritual? It's an interesting question, huh? Like if you would tell like an Alter Yid from that generation, I'm not talking about the people who are alive, but an Alter Yid, if you tell an Alter Yid that tell your grandfather or something that I'm looking for a guy that's more spiritual, he would look and say, but he doesn't put on tefillin? He doesn't keep Shabbos? No, but I want him to be more spiritual. I want him, I know, to close his eyes when he puts on tefillin. Something like that. You know, to be more spiritual, the Alter Yid wouldn't understand. So who's more spiritual? It's an interesting question. So on the one hand, the new generation is more spiritual, getting closer to Mashiach. On the other hand, there's a discomfort with just the day-to-day life of being Jews who are Shomer Mitzvahs. It's interesting, we're living in such a time of Oren Choshech, Shtamshim B'Rebuvia, that they're together in such a way. But Rav Kook says, Sof Shakol Yosha L'Tikun Gomer, in the end there's going to be a Tikun. And of course, a great part of that Tikun is in our persevering with Pnimiyas, and doing the best we can with Shmir Samitzis, and trying to stay with the program till these last few days until the tikkun will come. But we're able to learn these things. So someone says to you, one of the chavim just told me a good word this morning, that one of the chassidim came to the Satmar Rebbe Zalman Leib in Williamsburg. He came to him and they were talking about the Asifa, you know, coming to the big Asifa last week. And the Satmar Rebbe in Williamsburg was pushing it very strongly that the Chassidim should go. And one of the Chassidim came, and he said, "But how can we go? There are going to be some English speeches, and you know, Chassam Seif and other tzaddikim. There's a big thing. You're not allowed to have to give the Rabbim only to talk in Yiddish, not in the Lashonis of the Goyim. So how could the Rebbe tell us to go to that Asifa? So one of the Chavruta told me that he saw in a magazine that the Satmar Rebbe said, "Do you have a telephone? Do you have your cell phone?" And he said, "Sure." He gave the Rebbe the cell phone. The Rebbe gives it to the Gabri and says, "Check this to see if it has internet access." The Rebbe said, "On this." And the Gabri looks at it, and he says, "Yes." So the Rebbe says to the Chassid, "You can go to the Asif, it's okay." It's all right. You're not going to be killed by the English. You'll survive the English. He has internet and everything there on the internet, and he's nervous that what's going to happen with the English. The English might damage my soul. The English is going to... Rabbi Waxman is speaking English. The Mashgiach from Lakewood's English is going to hurt him. He's going to get hurt by hearing what Matthias Yael Solomon is going to get hurt. He's Ochen Vayim, my neshama, the English, the tumor of the Goyim. And he walks around with a cell phone. Which I don't know the cell phones to have in Yiddish written on, the everything in Yiddish on them. Even before the internet, I don't know that it's all Yiddish on the cell phone. I don't necessarily have Hebrew. But I don't know if it's all. And if somebody gets he has a message, sometimes it's even a Nekeva talking in English that says, "Please leave a message." It's a Nekeva. I don't know if that's Rebbetzin Kanievsky on the machine either. But he's afraid to go to the Asifa. We're so sick. He's afraid that he's going to get hurt by the English. So Rebbe said to him, "You can go." such a thickening. Such a thickening. That the tikkun won't be. And it'll happen keharfayim. Like, it could happen when we left Mitzrayim in such a way nobody would have believed it either. But it'll happen. Rosei Torim is Barim Yud Zayin. Rosei Torim is Barim Al Pi HaChochmas Shebo'olam. He says a very, very deep thing here. Rosei Torim is Barim Al Pi Kol HaChochmas Shebo'olam. This is one of those sentences that did not make Rav Kook popular in certain circles. Secrets of Torah can be better understood through all of the chokhmas of the world. Rav Kook is saying that by understanding all of the chokhmas. Rosei Torim is, I don't think there's any other way to translate that. Rosei Torim is barim api kol chokhmas shva'olam. Meaning that the more one understands the chokhmas of the world, I mean, he's only, of course, we're talking about things chachmas that are not chas v'shalom mixed with anything there. Whatever. Math, science, chais. Rosei Torim is barim al pi kol chachmas shebo'olam. One understands the secrets of Torah through rosei olam, the secrets of the world. You remember Yom Kippur davening, you say that by Vidi, right? That Hashem knows rosei olam, saluma sisrei kol chai. Fanecha Niglu, right? In other words, there's the secrets of the universe. Through understanding more and more of the secrets of the universe, one begins to understand more the secrets of Torah. Of course, Hashem created the world with Torah. So if one understands Rosei Olam, he's more connected to understand and is better able to understand the pshat in Rosei Torah. Rosei Torah is Barim al pi kol hachochmas shebo'olam. In addition to that, just on a very simple level, a person who's Isaac in Chachma, again, only those things that are without any mixture of anything, it's not talking about literature and other things, but Chachmas Olam, those things that are not mixed with impurities. So, on a very simple level, the person's mind becomes more open to understanding things in depth. He's not saying it's a t'nai. He's not saying it's a condition in learning Rosei Torah that you have to learn Chacham Sof. He's not saying that. He's just saying that even Chacham Sof help. Not that one needs to learn Chacham Sa'ilam in order to understand. But even that is part of Kedusha in that way. It's an interesting subject. The whole view of Rav Kook on Chacham Sa'ilam, that's an interesting subject. That's obviously way, way beyond what we're doing now, but it's an interesting subject. He himself didn't seem to have any shaychus to Chacham Sa'ilam. But then there were certain times that things that he said revealed that he had a bekiyas in Chachmas Olam. But his view on the subject is very interesting. The fact that he agreed to speak at the opening of Hebrew University, which caused, obviously, an unbelievable storm in the Jewish world, in the world of Shemir Torah Mitzvahs. He had a cheshbon, which he spoke about at that time. He had a vision of everything being one. The world wasn't holding by being mekabel such a thing. It didn't understand it. And it caused a big shvias hakel in Yerushalayim and other places. Rosi Torah mezbar mal pi achachm shabayilim val pi yiras shemayim hativis. Natural yiras shemayim. That's what's talking about. The good old-fashioned Jew that does the right thing is yiras shemayim. Good, healthy yiras shemayim is a fantastic aid in helping a person move on to understanding Rosi Torah. Here it's already a tnai, it's a condition. Obviously, which all the tzaddikim, all the kadmonim, the Ramak, you had a whole sefer or narav on the conditions of learning Sisrei Torah. How you have to have certain aleph beis gimel, certain things you have to be holding by in order to even start to learn these things. Which nowadays, the tzaddikim say, we would never be able to learn anything if we would insist on these conditions being kept. Nevertheless, Yiras Shamayim, of course, is a tenai. And not only that it's a condition, a tenai, in learning Sisrei Torah, but of course says, Rosei Torah mizbarim al pi chachma shabalim v'al pi Yiras Shamayim hativis. Natural, healthy Yiras Shamayim. You'll understand Rosei Torah better. Because you're plugged into the Ein, you're plugged into Ein Seif, you're plugged into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now is that Yid that sits in and he says his Tehillim and he does his He does his davening, he does his mitzvahs, and stays away from bad stuff. He's plugged in. He's connected to the system. So Mimela, on that foundation of Yiras Shamayim, you could build a world of understanding Rosei Torah, secrets of Torah. Shebesvarm of Eris Yafa B'chayvis Halavavis. One of Cook's favorite svarim was Chayvis Halavavis, which every Jew has to learn from. From the time that we're young, to learn Chavis Lov, it's not the Shayichet, it's not necessarily learn the Shayichet, but every other part of the Sefer, of Chavis Lov, that's the Reishis Chachma of a Jew, is Chavis Lov. Which Chavis Lov is the headquarters of Yiras Shamayim, Tivis, real authentic Musar, Yiras Shamayim Tivis. There in Chavis Lavavis, a Jew can connect to Yiras Shamayim, good, healthy Yiras Shamayim. Real Yiras Shamayim is in Chavis Lavavis. By Yisoid HaTachtisi Hazeh, and this basis, this foundation, upon this foundation of a certain ready intellectual readiness that Chochmas Eilam can help with, and more importantly, good old-fashioned Yiras Shamayim, Chavis Lavavis, Misil Sesharim, good old-fashioned Yiras Shamayim, upon that foundation, that's the right material. The kabbal as a tzuras hayoyser alyonis, to receive the tzuras alyonis, the more exalted and higher images of ruchnius, of rosei Torah, of secrets of Torah. Vayisoyda tachtisi hazehu hachoyme haroi lekabbal as a tzuras hayoyser alyonis. The Kedusha Shalmala, to receive from the Kedusha Shalmala, this is what readies a person and enables him to be able to receive the Rosei Olam, Yiras Shamayim, Chavis Lavavis, which everybody should try. Even, that doesn't mean one has to wait to become a Baki in Chavis Lavavis, but to learn Chavis Lavavis, Mitzvah Shasharim, to learn. Or others from, you know, each person, obviously, if a person prefers a different sefer, some Archas Tzaddikim, whatever, for that person. It's just mechazik the Yiras Shamayim Hativis. upon that foundation, one can build. One can build a world of Razei Torah. Now, this chapter, Perek Yud, officially in Eretz Torah ends at this point. But you might remember some months ago I told you that it was zoche to have a missing. There was a missing part of Eretz Torah. That the pages that you have in front of you is really the supplement. The numbers are on the bottom, so it's easy to follow, front and back, beginning with 316, 317, you see? Now, where do these come from? So this really belongs in Eretz Torah, it's not printed in Eretz Torah. There are other reasons why it's not printed, you'll see in a few minutes if you get started. It wasn't printed in Eretz Torah. But Rav Tzvi Yehuda, Zechon Levracha, Rav Kook's son Rav Tzvi Yehuda, had these Torahs from his father. That belonged to Eretz HaTorah. Remember that Rav Kook didn't write a sefer Eretz HaTorah, just like he didn't write Eretz HaTshuva. It was a collection of Rav Kook's teachings on Torah that Rav Tzvi Yehuda and some of the close Talmidim were working on. And Rav Tzvi Yehuda did not include this in the publication, in publishing Eretz HaTorah. It was not included. But he dictated it to one of his Talmidim, who, Baruch Hashem, is alive and well. We actually was able to have him once in the shul years ago, I don't know if any of you remember, Rav Shlomo Aviner. It's a big Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, one of Rav Tzvi Yehuda's main, biggest Talmidim, who's put out a lot of Rav Tzvi Yehuda's Svarim besides 50 of his own, more than 50 of his own probably. So Tzvi Yehuda dictated this to Rav Shlomo Aviner. And they were first printed in Iturei Kahanim. Some of you might remember this, but years ago, the yeshiva, Ateres Kahanim, used to print every month, a booklet of Torah. A lot of it was from Aviner, in Machshava and in Halacha, from the Rosh Yeshiva and the Chevron at Teres Kahanim in the Old City. There are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Torahs in those booklets. So it was originally printed in the Iturei Kahanim, in these booklets. And then, when Rav Aviner put out four volumes of some of the Ksavim, I think, so when Rav Aviner put out those four volumes, so he included the Maimon and Pnimis HaTorah that he dictated, that he took down from Tzvi Yehuda. And since then it's been printed in a few other Svarim of Talmidim. And I photostated it from another place, not from there, because that would be a lot more pages. It's much bigger. So I took it from another place to make it less comfortable for you to read. But I just have to get more in and save some paper for the shul. So I think that it doesn't make sense to begin this now. We're just going to have to go over it. It's an oilam. It's a world. This supplement is Rav Kook's final cry, his battle cry for Pnimius HaTayr, to bring the generation back to Pnimius HaTayr. And it's so powerful. It's so strong. That's why I said you'll understand why it wasn't printed, and it's not given out in the regular Eretz HaTayra. The fact that it was printed by Rav Aviner, but those who have seen Rav Aviner's writings will read afterwards how Rav Aviner says that Rav Kook wasn't talking about us, and it doesn't mean us, and da-da-da-da-da-da, which I didn't discuss with him personally. I would like to discuss with him personally, which I'm not macabre at all in due respect. Rav Kook meant exactly what he said, and I'm deeply, deeply disturbed by the fact that there are very fine students of Rav Tzvi Yehuda who are making it seem as if this was for some other people. I don't know who they are. I don't know who the other people are supposed to be. But Rav Kook was talking exactly to who he wanted to, and he meant it exactly for this generation. So it was printed, but it's printed with such a disclaimer that it came out, if you'll see it there, you're right, you'll see the disclaimer that he has, that it came out neutralizes. I don't even know why he put it and why anybody would want to read it. Again, I'm saying this in a respectful way. I'm a big chassid of him there. But I don't understand why the very thing that Rav Kook wanted and was crying about his whole life, why the Talmidim of his son are saying that it's not Nugayatas, we're not holding by it, we're not ready for it. I don't understand. It's a pellet to me. Which I should ask him, Mr. Sherman, I'm in Yerushalayim next time. We should all be healthy and well to go back to Yerushalayim to sit with all the tzaddikim and learn Torah together. And we should be makabel the Torah and shuas, like the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, in the way of simcha and pnimiyus. We should be makabel the Torah. And it should be that this year, so Rosh Hashanah of Torah should be that we should be nechtovim in the Sefer Chaim of the Sefer of Tzaddikim to learn Torah in the way of pnimiyus and not just to learn that it should be here, but it should go all the way in here, good, and should change us and lift us up and strengthen our emunah, and that we should be zeicher to be mekabel the Torah Chadash, the pnimiyus Torah that Hashem has saved for the tzaddikim to reveal for Klal Yisrael before. At the time when Mashiach comes, as it says, Yishakenim Nishikah Espiyu, Kitayim Dedechem Yain, Ebeshav Afer Lechem Lechdechem Yain.